May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It's been 3 weeks since I preached a sermon. We had Donna preach 1 week, and then the kids preached the next week, and the bishop was here last week, so it's kind of nice to be back in the pulpit. My preaching professor at seminary said there are always three questions to ask. First one is, what is the story? Second one is, what was the reason for the story? The third question is, how does the story become relevant in our lives today? So I've been out of the pulpit for 3 weeks. I'm going to go back to the basics. And this morning's gospel is a good example. Because this morning's gospel, the cleansing of the temple, is one of the few stories that we find written in all four gospels. In the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we find this story right after Jesus has had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem just a few days before his crucifixion. In the Gospel of John that we read this morning, it's at the beginning of the Gospel. And in the Gospel of John, you can read a timeline of 3 years of ministry. So what it tells us in the Gospel of John is that Jesus cleansed the temple 3 years before his crucifixion. Whatever the theological significance each writer wanted to give the story, when we put all four gospel stories together, we can come up with one story that's pretty commonplace. This is the story according to all four gospels. It was the time of Passover, and all Jews, because of their spirituality, went to Jerusalem to make pilgrimage. And while they were there making pilgrimage, they visited the temple and they bought an animal to sacrifice at the altar. Jesus, as his custom was, went to Jerusalem, went to the temple. He finds people exchanging money. He finds people buying and selling animals. And in a rage of anger, he makes himself a whip of cords. And he storms through the temple, drives out the money changers, lets the animals go free, overturns the table. And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Then in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, after he said that, the blind and the lame and the sick all came to him. Then the children begin to praise Jesus. And the religious elders say, be quiet, you can't talk in church. They rebuke the children. And Jesus said, whoa, wait a minute. He said, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings has come perfect praise? And that's the story. So the next question I ask, okay, is what's the reason for the story? And it's got to be important because it's in all four Gospels. When Jesus arrives at the temple, he doesn't expect what he found. What he finds, okay, is a temple that's being used as a place for huge profit. The only money that you could buy animals with was temple money. The only place you could buy the animals was in the temple. It wasn't BYOB. Bring your own bird. No, I'll bring your own beast. Okay. It wasn't that at all. What happened was, You couldn't use your denarii or your shekels to buy the animals. You couldn't bring your own animals. So you had to take your denarii and your shekel to the money changers to exchange your denarii and shekels for temple money. And then you had to buy the animals with temple money. Believe me, the price of animals was extremely high. And the exchange rate was incredibly low. Therefore, for all of those people who, because of their spirituality, had made this incredible pilgrimage to Jerusalem to go to the temple to make the sacrifice of their animal, this time of incredible depth of spirituality had been turned into a time of incredible hardship and incredible guilt. And it was this that made Jesus absolutely furious. It was this that sent Jesus on a rampage through the temple, stopped the trading, threw out the traders, freed the animals. Oh yes, Jesus cleansed the temple. So what does this story mean then for us? In this story, I really believe that there is a formula that needs to be learned by individuals who call themselves followers of the way of Christ, and also by communities who call themselves communities of Christians. You see, what Jesus did, the first thing he came to the temple was to cleanse it, to purify it of those activities done by those people that tainted the temple. To get rid of those ungodly activities. To purge that which was not of God. When we ask Christ to come into our lives, I believe the first thing that Christ does is to purify our life. To purge it of that which is not of God. To ask us to get rid of those ungodly activities that we engage in. Our words and our actions that are not reflective of the love of God. When we invite people, Jesus, to come in, he cleanses. And we, as Paul says, become a new creation. When Jesus cleansed the temple, his next words were, "My house shall be a house of prayer." Because I believe that once the purification and once the cleansing has taken place, there is a conscious movement to prayer. When Christ comes into a person's life or into a community of faith, after that cleansing, there's always a movement to prayer. Prayer is the essence of our relationship with God. You know, whether it be adoration or confession, whether it be intercession or thanksgiving, our prayer deepens and our prayer nourishes and our prayer builds the relationship with God. When that purifying has taken place, and when prayer becomes an integral part of our life, something happens. It becomes attractive. Becomes attractive. Not in the sense of the world's understanding of attractive, but in the godly sense of attractive. Because your life, your community of faith, has an inner peace, has a calmness, a depth of spirituality. You know people like that. And you know community of faith like that. And they're attractive. And we say, I want what he's got. I don't want what she's got. There's something about that person that I can't put my finger on. You know, it's Matthew that tells us that once the cleansing had taken place and once prayer had been entered into, it was the lame and the blind and the sick that came. I deeply believe that people are attracted by a spirit of forgiveness. By a spirit of acceptance. By a spirit of care. And by a spirit of love. And by a spirit of openness. That is willing to change maybe the way things are done. So that the love of God may be shown more clearly. To all of God's children. Because when people become surrounded by the spirit of a Christian community, then healing begins to take place. That which is broken begins to be mended. That which is wounded begins to be healed. You know, that which we thought was unforgivable, it's forgiven. And for those of us that thought that we were unlovable, we find love. People come. Purification leads to prayer, and prayer leads to people, and that leads to the final cycle in this story. That's praise. There's no other way to say thanks to God except in our praise. If we are willing as individuals, and if we are willing as a community of faith, for God to come into our life, then he comes in our life with a simple formula that God showed us through Christ at the cleansing of the temple. To be with somebody who strives to be Christ-like. To be in a community of faith that strives to be Christ-like. You know that we followed the recipe that's given to us by God through Jesus. So that in the end, all people can be led to praise. Amen.